There's two things I want to know about a preacher. The first thing I want to know is if he's heard from God. Because I can turn my radio on and hear a sermon anywhere. But I want to hear from God. The next thing I want to know is what God had to say. What good is it to be around a man that's heard from God that knows what to preach and won't preach to you?
Come on now. Preach.
Come on.
And I was reminded about Nathan the prophet when he came to David.
Yes.
David had a hidden sin. Actually, he had two hidden sins. One, he had committed adultery. And the other was he had committed a murder. And so when Nathan the prophet came, Nathan the prophet began to tell him a story. And as he told the story, David was enraged and wanted to pass judgment on the man in the story.
That's right.
A lot of times, we look at other people and say, well, they ought not to do that. Or if they listened to God, they wouldn't do that. But what about you? You know, I've got to be saved. Whether you're saved or not, I've got to be saved. You can't go for me, I can't go for you. But the prophet knew the message. But David, when the prophet said, thou art the man, the problem was that David couldn't see himself in the message.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
That's right. Come on, see yourself.
He couldn't see himself in the message. And today, my hope and prayer is that somehow you can see yourself in the message that's preached today.
Praise the Lord.
First of all, I don't have to tell you to repent because I believe somebody else already has. I don't have to name sins today because you already know if there's something standing in between you and God. You already know what it is.
You already know. Yes.
The Bible said, lay aside every weight. There may be some things in your life that might not take you straight to hell, but it's not going to help you get to heaven.
That's right.
Weight, yes.
The weights. And these sins. Everybody's got something they struggle with. Mm-hmm. If you tell me that you don't have a struggle, and the devil doesn't come to you with a particular temptation, you're a liar.
Amen.
I don't care who you are.
Amen. Preach to us.
There's some things that the devil knows gets to you that might not get to somebody else.
That's right.
You war with things I might not pay any attention to. And then I may war with things that wouldn't affect you at all. But the way to destroy the monsters that we create in our lives, and I'm going to tell you, you create your own problems. God didn't do it.
Amen.
You create your own situations. And I'll tell you, if you're having problems, if you've got a situation that you know is in between you and the blessings of God, If you'll quit feeding it, it'll die. And you won't have problems with it. But if you conquer that monster quite a bit, and then all of a sudden you give it a few crumbs,
it comes back alive.
It's coming back alive.
The
way to destroy what is separating you, the Bible said, and I've got it right here. Let me read it to you. I'll get to my scripture text in just a minute.
Praise the Lord.
Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So, is God pleased with sin? Absolutely not.
No, he's not.
And you know, right now, you already know. You're sitting there thinking about things that are hindering you from serving God. We have a saying in Mississippi that it's whole hog or nothing. Either you give God all your heart, or you may as well be out yonder somewhere. Because a person that is half in and half out, or half obeying what he knows to do, is the most miserable person on the earth. Now, if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God. We're going to go to the book of St. Mark, chapter 2, and begin at verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Don't you want people to know that the Lord's in the house? But now he ain't coming if you're going to hang on to sin. Because he ain't going to hang around. But if you'll get sin out of the way, there's never been a revival. Never, ever, ever, ever been a revival without people repenting of their sin.
Amen.
Come on now.
There has never been a revival. There will never be a move of God in your life till you are willing to repent of your sins and do what God wants you to do. And straightway, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. There's only one thing God's ever magnified above his name. And that's his word. I believe that the only way for us to deal with sin in the church, we have to preach it out and pray it out.
Amen.
And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Pastor, pray that the Lord will use us today.
Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word, God, which we know has already been anointed. It is holy, Lord. You have set it aside for the purpose to lead us and guide us. And you have given us this minister here today, Lord. And I pray, God, that the power of the Holy Ghost would be upon them and upon our hearts, that we might receive your word with gladness. And that we might turn from our wicked ways, Lord,
Jesus,
and run to you, our salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The Lord bless you today. The Bible said that Jesus had came to Capernaum, and after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. People would come for miles around because they knew the healer was in town. Many of them had only the healing of the body in mind. But God never works a miracle without doing a full miracle. He doesn't do anything halfway. And usually, He just cuts down to the root of the problem. Am I saying that everybody that's sick has sin in their life? Absolutely not. But that's how sin came.
Yes, through sin.
Through disobedience, through sin.
Yes.
We can thank Adam and Eve for all of that. And Eve shouldn't get all the blame. Adam knew what he was doing.
Yes, he did.
And so, sin came into the world. Jesus was there to heal and to deliver, to help people, because he really genuinely cared. They never heard preaching quite like this, because the preaching that they had heard was for a whole synagogue of people. But Jesus came one-on-one. That's one thing that drew the people. They never had that one-on-one attention by anyone.
That's right.
Oh yeah, they were full of rituals. And they had certain things that they did in the synagogue, and it was more of a habit than worship. They had their little set ways of doing things. But when Jesus came to town, he reached for people one-on-one.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And today, the Lord's going to talk to you one-on-one.
That's right.
One-on-one. The Holy Ghost never misses. When the Spirit of God moves through a congregation, as a preacher preaches the Word of God, a miracle takes place.
That's right.
The preacher doesn't know anything about you. But God does. And through the preaching of the Word of God, God finds you in the middle of the preaching.
He does.
Because God knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking, and he knows what you will put before him that causes something to be in between you and God. I've had people tell me, well, I don't want to go to the church because there's so many hypocrites down there. Of course, my first thought is one more is not going to hurt anything. But if a man lets a hypocrite stand in between him and God, the hypocrite's closer to God than he is, because he's standing in between him and God. Whatever you allow to come between you and God that separates you and God, whatever it is, it's closer to God than you are, because it's standing in between you and God. Hurt feelings. Somebody said, well, I don't want to go there. Somebody hurt my feelings. Friend, if you don't want your feelings hurt, you better die quick. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But listen, is it worth going to hell over? Is whatever you put between you and serving God worth going to hell over? Think about it now. These four men who were a friend of the sick of the palsy, and of course this man was quite blessed because he had four friends. Sometimes, outside of this one here and one or two more, I might have to look real hard to find four. But I'm going to tell you, these four believed that if they could just get their friend in the presence of the Lord where he was in the house, they would never have to carry him on a bed anymore. They knew that if they could just get to Jesus, their problem was over. You know, sometimes when we pray and ask God to change things, and in many cases, God doesn't change things. He changes us. And so, these four friends came, and They tried to get in the house and they couldn't. It'd have been like some of my so-called friends that they would have gave up and said, well, let's just get out of here. Maybe we can catch him at a time when he's not as busy. But these men had made up their mind that they were going to take apart whatever stood in between them and their miracle. And so they carried this man to the rooftop. It was covered with clay. They shipped the clay away and pulled the slabs back off that roof and lowered this man down in the presence of the Lord. The Lord already knew they were up there because he knows everything. But he looked up and saw them, and he was pleased with their faith. And they lowered that man down there in the presence of the Lord because they were determined to not let anything keep them from their miracle. They had to see a miracle. And I'm telling you today that when you get desperate enough for God and you want God to move in your life, when you get so desperate that you'll take away everything that's in your life, that's displeasing to God, to get to God, friend, God will see your faith. God will work the miraculous in your life.
Amen.
Is there something in your life that would keep God from working a miracle in your life? Get it out. Repent. The Lord said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and forsake their wicked way, I'll hear from heaven. He's not going to hear till you get willing to get out of the way what's keeping you from the blessings of God. You know, Isaac was a blessed man because Abraham was his father. But Abraham had dug some wells, and the enemy had came and filled them up again. But the Bible said he dug again the wells of his father. He got out of those wells what was keeping him from drawing the water out.
Amen.
Friend, you're going to have to get the sin out of your life if you want the blessings of God.
Amen. That's right.
How do I know this? Oh, I'm going to show you in just a few minutes. But the first thing Jesus said to this man, was it, be healed? He could have. But the Lord wanted to do a complete healing on this man. And he started on the inside. He dealt with the sin problem. Right off the bat. Amen. He got to the root of the situation. You know, there were some people that came to John, to John's baptism.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people wouldn't have liked John.
No.
He wasn't a very friendly type of preacher. If he rubbed the cat's fur anyway, it was the wrong way. He was not the kind of man to beat around the bush and say, oh, you look so good today, and you're going to be all right. No, sir. When they came to his baptism, he said, oh, generation of vipers. He called them a bunch of snakes. That probably ran most of the congregation off in our day. But he said, oh, generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Too many people are playing around with the sides of the tree and the top of the tree, trying to get the tree out of their life. They're cutting a limb off at a time. They're saying, well, you know, I'm gonna do this sin. I know it's wrong, but I'm gonna take my time at getting rid of it. I'm going to tell you something. When you get hungry enough for God, you'll do whatever it takes to get God in your life.
Amen, that's right.
My mother smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day. As a young lady, she came in contact with Pentecost and was convicted. But she wouldn't live for God because she was addicted to nicotine. And she let that thing keep her from serving God for 30 years.
Come on.
Well, we went to a church. I was 16 years old. We started going to an apostolic church. And 5 of my family received the Holy Ghost in 1 week. But I prayed through. I was one of the first ones to pray through. And my mama couldn't stand it. She got ready to get the Holy Ghost. And so she said, I'm going to quit whatever it is I'm doing that's wrong, that's keeping me from having the blessings of God. I'm going to get it out of my life. She called some of the ladies at the church 4 o'clock in the morning. I got to go to church.
Come on.
I got to get the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I'm hungry for God. I can't wait another day. I got to have God next.
Yes.
Friend, when you get hungry for the power of God in your life, it doesn't matter whether it's in the morning time or late or at noon or whenever. When you get hungry enough for God, you want to begin to seek the face of God. And the Bible said if we'll seek Him, we'll find Him.
Amen. That's right.
4 o'clock in the morning, my mama prays through to the Holy Ghost because she laid aside the thing that was keeping her from serving God.
Come on.
I'm telling you that when you really get the genuine Holy Ghost, it'll give you power to overcome the things you cannot on your own.
Amen, brother. Preach it.
Amen. There's many people who came to God that were addicted to nicotine, that were addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, that could not help themselves. They couldn't kick it on their own.
Come on now.
But the Bible said, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
If you're willing to give it up, if you're just willing to give it up, God will give you the power. Amen. God will give you the power. If you just repent of your sin and give God an opportunity to change your life, He'll fill you with the power to overcome the things of this world.
Praise God.
Oh, hallelujah. My heart feel the power of the Holy Ghost wanting to move in this place today. Friend, we can have revival if everybody will just repent and get right with God. We can have a move of God. God can fill you full of the Holy Ghost and you can get the victory over the things that have been dragging you down.
Come on now.
Oh, hallelujah. You've been dragging that pen of sin around too long. It's time for you to get in the presence of the Master today and let Him take away that thing that is trying to destroy you.
Yes.
God can and will heal.
Amen. Amen.
There were some that were looking around saying, He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Who can do this but God?
Yes, God.
What they didn't understand was He was God. And He is God.
Amen.
And then the Lord said, take up your bed and walk. I've dealt with the major problem, and that's sin.
Amen. Sin.
Oh, hallelujah. Romans 6:1, but what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He answered the question. You can't keep on living a life of sin and expect to go to heaven. You've got to become dead, 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 dead to the things of this world.
right.
And until you do, you're not going to become alive in Jesus.
Preach it, brother.
You're not going to heaven dragging these sins with you. Because ain't no sin going to be there.
Come on.
Hallelujah. You got to deal with the sin problem. Repent ye therefore that your sins may be blotted out. Your sins are not going to be blotted out till you repent.
That's right.
And it's not saying, oh, well, I'm sorry. And keep going like you've been doing. That's not repentance. Repentance is to quit doing the things that are wrong. And doing an about face from them, asking God to fill you with the power to overcome those things.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, my daddy, I knew him as a drunkard. My mom and daddy divorced when I was 6. My mama remarried again when I was 11, and it's a long story. But my daddy would always tell me, after I prayed through, I started preaching. I got the Holy Ghost and started preaching. Been preaching ever since. I'm 61, so you count it up. But anyway, but I talked to him. Daddy, you got to get right with God. And he'd say, well, I got too many problems. And when I get my problems taken care of, I'll serve God then.
Mm-mm. Come on, preach it, brother.
And he said, when I get nervous, I've just got to have a smoke.
Come on.
Just gotta, you know, it's like a nerve pill. Mm-hmm. Well, before Daddy died, he got so hungry for God that he was willing to lay the drinking down.
Come on.
And the smoking down. He got baptized in Jesus' name. God gave him the Holy Ghost just before he died.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank
Amen.
You. Thank
but I'm telling you that sometime you just have to take the roof off. You have to get the things that are keeping you from your miracle. You're going to have to tackle them on your own.
Come on.
There's some things God is not going to do for you. I've heard preachers lie and say, oh, God will do everything for you. No, sir. God will give you a preacher. God will let you know you got to repent. But the rest of it's up to you.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I love Brother James Stinnett. He's my friend. But I'm going to tell you, if I walked up to him and I popped him between the eyes, and I said, oh, brother, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it. And then 5 minutes later, I walked over and walked him again. I don't think he believed me the second time. Or the third time. Or the fourth time. Or the fifth time.
Come on, preach this.
And yet people do that with God.
That's right. That's right.
They just keep wanting to drag that sin around with them. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Let me tell you something.
Come on, preach this.
I've met people, and I know people right now that love their sin so much that they say, well, if I ask God to forgive me, God will forgive me. And then continue to sleep around. I know people that say, well, you know, God, grace is abandoned, so I'm going to just ask God to forgive me every day. All that's over with. Wait a minute. God forbid. We go back to that hitting Brother Stinnett upside the head. You do that to God when you won't repent.
Amen.
You're not going to be saved till you repent. And if you don't repent, church becomes a social club.
That's right. Social.
If you're not going to obey the word of God, and you go to a church where nobody's going to obey God, and you can't tell them from the rest of the world, well, what reason has anybody got to come to expect a change in their life? And we're doing the same thing they're doing. And we don't look any different. And we don't talk any different. And then you run into some people that have possum religion. The correct name for the animal is opossum. I had one nearly scare me to death a few months ago. He got down in my trash can. And he fell off in there. And about 11 o'clock at night, I went out there to get the garbage, take it out to the road, and I shined my light in there. And that thing was just a grinning at me. I think he wanted my fingers. But anyway, when he got through, all the garbage was out of the can. He took care of anything in there he wanted. And you know, that's what some people do. They feed off the garbage.
Come on.
And one thing about a possum, they're play dead. Yeah, they'll play dead. As long as the preacher's around, oh, I'm holy. Woo, look at me, man, I'm holy. But when the preacher's gone, they just go right back to the garbage can. And if they don't do that, and you make them very mad, they'll sew up. They'll sew up. Oh, I wish that preacher had left my stuff alone. You know, I heard a story about this lady that was in the church, and the preacher was preaching against lying. And she jumped up and said, "Woo, brother preacher." And then he preached about gossip, and she said, "Woo, brother preaching." She said, "Now, all you snuff dippers gonna have to repent." She said, "Wait a minute, preacher, you done gone from preaching, gone to meddling now." You better thank God you got a preacher that'll preach to you what you need to do.
Amen.
All right. The Bible said that there is a cure for sin, and that is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You have to repent. And I can't say that too many times. If you don't feel like you need to repent today, you ought to repent because you don't feel like you need to.
Amen, that's right.
Because we fall so short.
That's right.
Of what God many times wants us to be. But there's a difference between being cleansed by the blood of Jesus and walking the right way. There's a difference between that and willfully sinning and knowing that you're not doing what God needs you to do or what God wants you to do. We belong to God. When we come to God, we're not our own. When we seek to please Him.
That's right.
Amen. And but the Lord did heal him. I want you to turn to James chapter 5. And we'll start at verse number 13. And like I said, there's some things God's not going to do for you. He's not going to jerk that evil thing away from you and say, "Leave that alone." You already know to leave it alone. So your part You see, there's the preacher's part. He preaches to you what God gives him against sin. And the repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is only the very beginning of serving God. The rest is hearing the word of God and obeying what God wants us to do. How do we know? By the preaching of the word of God. The preaching is the preacher's job. Obedience or conviction is God's part. And obedience is your part. We all have a part in the church of the living God. We've all got a part. But the Bible said, is any among you afflicted, there's something for you to do. He doesn't necessarily take the affliction away, but it causes you to pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. He said, any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. God wants to heal in this service today. I believe there's some people here that need healing. But God doesn't just want to heal your body. God wants to heal you from the inside out. Because if he heals your body, just your body can go to hell if you don't continue to live for him. But he wants to save you from the inside, where when your life is over, you can go and spend eternity with him. Today, God wants to work the miraculous. But it's up to you. God's ready. It's up to you.
Amen.
Let's stand. If you are willing to get everything out of the way between you and God that's not right, God will work the miraculous for you today. Not next week, not just next week. He'll do it today. I believe there's some people here that need a healing touch of God. 3 years ago, the doctor told me, you have cancer. You have two growths about the size of a tennis ball inside your body. If we don't do something, you're going to die. I didn't even know I had a problem. The way I found out, I had two kidney stones. First time I ever thanked God for a kidney stone. But if I hadn't had that, they'd never found the other issue. Many times you got things going on in you you don't even know about. It brought me face to face with the fact that if I didn't do a lot of praying and I didn't get a lot of people praying for me, I was going to die. I went through the chemo. First thing, I lost my hair. And then I thought, man, I'd never paid much attention to it before, but I was in style without my hair.
Come on.
But after the Lord touched me, my wife said, it needs to grow back. So I don't know whether she just didn't like my bald head or what, but anyway, God touched me. I've been cancer-free for 2 years.
Amen.
God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And there's nothing the devil can do about it. And when God decides he's going to heal, There's not a devil or demon or anything that can keep you from being healed. But does God heal you so you can continue to do the things you've been doing?
Come on.
No. God heals you for you to tell somebody else about his miraculous power.
Amen.
I know God's a healer because I'm standing here healed.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Do I know God will answer you whenever you live right and in the middle of your despair you have to cry out to him? Yes. Several years ago, I was driving down the road. My wife and I, and we had three children then. We have four now. And they're grown. Thank the Lord. But anyway, I was driving down the road in a rainstorm, and my electrical system quit. I had pastored a church for 3 years, worked, gave every dime I had, and it just didn't work out. And the devil would laugh at me and torment me and say, "What good have you done? You spent all this time, all this money, and the community's rejected God." Ha 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 ha. But on that road, on the interstate, going down the interstate, my electrical system quit in a little Toyota car. We didn't have seat belts. An 18-wheeler ran over us before I could get off the road. Knocked us over 160 feet. Middle of the night. No seat belts. I turned and looked where my oldest son was supposed to be, and the whole back of my car was within an inch of my seat, crushed all the way to the inch of my seat. And my son was gone. I couldn't find him. I jumped out of the car, screaming, calling his name, and I heard him cry up in the bushes. And the hand of God had reached in that car and pulled my son out and laid him in a bunch of bushes on the side of the interstate. My oldest daughter that lives here is blind today because of that accident. But when I turned and looked, the back axle was stuck underneath her legs and her head was swelling like a balloon. And I began to cry out, "Jesus! The God that I had preached to that community that rejected God answered me in the middle of my trouble.
Hallelujah.
And let my children live. I'm telling you, it pays to live for God.
Amen.
In a coma. She was in a coma for 2 weeks. She had sang at youth camp. The accident happened in July. The youth camp was in June. And we put a cassette tape player in the ICU and where she had sang with the youth camp choir. And in a coma, she'd sing with that tape. She'd stop where they stopped and sing where they sang. And lift her hands up and speak in tongues.
Praise God.
In the middle of a coma. I'm telling you, God paid me back for every time I ever gave.
Thank you, Lord.
If you'll give your life to God, he'll be there when you need him the most.
Amen. That's right.
Don't let your sins and your habits separate you from God.
Come on.
Isaiah said your sins are separate. There's a separation. There's a rooftop between you and your miracle. It's not worth it to hang on to things that you know is displeasing to God.
Come on.
Give it up. hell's too hot, and heaven is too wonderful.
Amen.
Give it up.
Amen.
How many times have you heard preachers tell you to repent? And have you repented? Have you given up the things that are holding you back? There may be somebody here with a call to preach, but God can't use you till you get right with Him.
Preach it, brother.
You can't save the world when you're hanging on to stuff you don't have no business hanging on to. There was a man in our church that had a habit. God had dealt with him and dealt with him about it, and he wouldn't give it up. But that man in the service and said, if you don't repent, you're going to wish you had. He wouldn't repent. You don't play with God.
Amen.
And I've got news for you. God's not going to meet you on your terms. You're going to have to repent and meet God's terms.
Amen.
Monday morning, brother, he went to work. And that hand that he had so held on to the habit with, he was pushing a piece of wood in a planer. And his fingers got caught in it. And it peeled the hide back, where he couldn't use his hands. God had rather bring judgment and save you than to let you continue on just like you're going. And you go to hell.
Come on.
If you how important is it to go to heaven? But Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. He said, if your eye offends you, if you keep looking at stuff that you don't have any business, pluck your eye out. What he's trying to tell you is repent.
Repent.
If that foot that keeps taking you to the places you know God's displeased with, it's better for you to cut it off.
Amen.
And go to heaven with one foot than it is to go to hell with two. Hear the voice of this preacher today. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. And I feel God talking to hearts. And you can forget me when I leave. You can forget me. But there's one thing for sure. I'm going to tell you what God says. It's time to repent. It's time to get where you need to be with God. Judgment's coming on this world. And listen, you're one heartbeat away from eternity. If the doctor comes in to your next visit and tells you that you don't have but a few days to live, you'll find that, is that what it's going to take? You folks that know how to pray, I want you to start praying right now.
Lord Jesus, God, your spirit's been with
God's
you.
Reaching.
Ask, Lord, yes.
God's Jesus. Reaching for your heart today.
God,
give the gift of repentance to us.
Oh, sweet Jesus.